Welcome to this podcast, this More Than Just Muscle, strategies to help you become your very best, both inside and outside of the gym. This is More Than Just Muscle's podcast number 18, and I am Skip LaCour, and I'm joined by my beautiful, sexy, the mother of my child, my best friend. Boy, I can tell you this, I really stretched myself to be so lucky to attract such a beautiful woman, wife, and mother, Carrie LaCour. Carrie, how are you doing today?
Hello, I am fabulous.
Hey, this morning, this More Than Just Muscles podcast, I mean, to me, this is what we designed to do, the show that we're going to have today. We're going to have some fun. It's strategies to help you become your best both inside of the outside of the gym. But this isn't really so much about, you know, the training and nutrition strategy. This is about life. This is how help you become better in your thinking and doing. And go to skiplacour.com, go to createwithcarrie.com, go to our Facebook pages, facebook.com/skiplacour page, facebook.com/createwithcarrie. I mean, we have all kinds of training and nutrition strategies. We want to focus on the whole life thing. Today, we're going to talk about red flags that you ladies need to watch out for in men.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is going to be fun and it's going to be informative. It's going to be empowering to both men and women. And again, this is going to be fun. We want you to join in on the conversation. The phone number is 646-716-6182. Again, that's 646-716-6182.
Yeah, if any of you guys have anything to add to our list or if you've been through some of these situations, feel free to call in and join us and give us your experience.
We would love to hear from you. Add some color and dimension to this podcast. And, you know, if your big brother Skip, been around the world a few times, maybe I can add some insight. Definitely going to add some insight. By the way, Carrie, we talk about it sometimes, but I think there's like six of my one-on-one coaching clients, my man formation coaching clients, that the primary focus, because so your relationships, whether you want to accept this or not, is a really important part of your life. You may focus on that achievement. Maybe it's your bodybuilding and training or whatever, but your relationships are such a huge part of your overall happiness and success. And I have five clients right now of assorted ages that, you know, we're talking about them becoming the best man they can be and also giving them my big brother advice on, you know, things to look out for in their relationships you know, the experience that sometimes you don't have at 23 years old.
Yeah.
So they're getting some fatherly advice, some big brother.
About relationships.
About relationships. Yeah. You know, it's about women, what to look for, but I really put the pressure on them.
Uh-huh.
I really know, as I made my man formation, what made me the man that I needed to attract a woman like you to enjoy the relationship that we have. It started with me. So the primary focus is on themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. You'll hear me talk about throughout this podcast. But at the same time, there's things to look out for in other people. And hopefully I add some empathy and understanding why people do the things they do. Not meaning just because someone's had some challenges and they have these red flags that you need to take them in, like you're a charity case, a social worker. But, you know, maybe some empathy and understanding why people do the things they do. I know that I've reviewed the list that Carrie came up with, these red flags that women need to watch out for in men. I have reviewed it. The word crazy comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Not real comfortable with that. And if you've listened to my podcast, hopefully you know who I am, what I'm all about. You're on this More Than Just Muscles podcast network, and you see my Morning Connection podcast that I do 6 days a week. You know that I have a long history, fascination with why we do the things we do as people and to get the most out of life. And so I'm going to be adding that perspective, that dimension, along with my dating career, the things I did well, the things I didn't do well. Carrie's going to do the same too, you know, how we got so lucky to end up in the position that we're in now and how we, you know, work to make it better and work through any challenges we have. We're not perfect, although we're very happy and very optimistic about where we're going.
Right.
All right. So I think this is going to be a really fun show. It's just that it's so in line. I really feel we got an hour and a half to do this, right? I got so many things to talk about looking at the list that Carrie prepared on the internet. She found out. And this is a rebuttal. Last week in More Than Just Muscles podcast number 17, we talked about the red flags guys to look out for in women. I think that was a really good show. I want to do that one over again.
Yeah.
Right? One thing, we had a slight challenge with the,
oh,
sound,
the sound
that we have now corrected. But you want to listen to that, More Than Just Muscles podcast 17. A lot of great advice there. It's just as we were going through it, I was going, wow, this is really powerful stuff. I want, yeah, a couple weeks to rethink about this, because I can really give some powerful advice to the guys out there. All right. So when they're coming to me for advice, both inside and outside of the gym, I mean, I want to use that as a source of reference that they can, yeah, go to. So I want to do over there, because I can even do a better job, although it's really good. Again, More Than Just Muscles podcast number 17. That with this podcast, just a great foundation to help you understand, you know, relationships are something that you've been challenged with. So I'm really excited to do this podcast and get this on the internet so people, both men and women, can hear it for months and years to come into the future.
Yeah.
So that's what we have planned. I also want to review our Morning Connection podcast that I've done this week on this More Than Just Muscles podcast. Again, if you want to join the conversation, it's 646-716-6182. And if you're listening to us live right now, I know a few of you are. I know the majority of you will download this and to listen to it later on. So you're not live, but join the chat session that we have going. I see that Miss Pretty has joined us. You can just go to morethanjustmuscles.com. It'll take you over to the Blog Talk Radio Network, and then you can just sign up for an account there or as a guest, and you can add some color, dimension, some insight to what we have to say on this podcast. So let's go through a review. This is something that, stay consistent with the disciplines that we set up, is to review what we talked about this week on my Morning More Than Just Muscles, on this More Than Just Muscles podcast network, The Morning Connection. Daily dose of MTC, mental toughness conditioning, for 1.5 hour every single morning. I get up at, well, I'm doing it at 4:30 every morning, just starting off your day, getting you in the ritual, the habit of downloading this at a certain time and listening to it at a certain time every single day to give you that mental boost, that clarity, to ask, get you asking questions about your life. It's through questions, searching for answers, and taking note of the life lessons that life is continually teaching you all the time. It's just, are you paying attention? That's the only question. The lessons are always happening.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what this is all about. So in Morning Connection podcast number 166, that's how we started off the week, it talks about stepping into your goals. Don't just write them down. And that's a challenge, you know, that I've gotten into. You know, it's a, yeah, big step ahead of a lot of people to write down your goals, to visualize those goals. And, you know, Karen and I, we're definitely into that process. One thing that, you know, we said, how can we take this up to a higher level? Because there's always a higher level. We need to get into the situation that we want to be in. Somehow, some way, smooth, mm-hmm, our way, go out of our way, and not just go to the day-to-day, our life, the things that we do. Or yeah. If we keep on going through the day-to-day patterns, we're going to start thinking more on the mortar of the day-to-day things. And how can you have that thing if you've never really tasted it, touched it, felt it, experienced it, right? At least in advance, at least from afar. And what stimulated that conversation is, last Saturday, we went driving through exclusive neighborhoods, right? of our dream house that we really wanted, getting ideas, something to work for, get us up early in the morning, stay persistent, stay focused on our goals and dreams. And we haven't done that for a while. And I was mentioning to Carrie that, you know, I think I did this 15 years ago, and this neighborhood wasn't built up yet. And it just made me think, I need to do that more. I can't just write it on a goal and do it every 15 years or so. So that's what I talked about in Morning Connection podcast number 166. 167, Morning Connection podcast 167. Don't wait until you have all the answers to start. A lot of guys sit back. They collect information. They want some certainty that to move forward. And although I appreciate setting up a plan and thinking about what you're doing, you're not going to have all the answers. If you're at point A, you want to get to point B, there is no way you're going to have all the answers. You're going to learn a lot of them along the way. So you got to hurry up and get going on the process. I talk about that, again, in Morning Connection podcast number 167. Morning Connection podcast number 168. And I think this is one of the better ones myself, is how easy is it for you to stop at no?
Yeah.
you know, I talk about how the world, or, you know, everybody's going through the path of least resistance. The people you work with, the people that you want advice from, you know, they've got their jobs, they got their own priorities. They don't step into your shoes a lot of times and see what you need and what you want, how you can meet their needs all the time. It's up to you to get them thinking about you and maybe taking a little bit more thought when they say no. And so you got to really think about how easy it for you just, okay, and you go your separate way.
No, so, can either be a curtain or it can be a brick wall.
Yeah, right. And even if it's a brick wall, do a karate chop or something to get through it. You may not get through it. You may even hurt your hand sometimes, but this is your life, gosh darn it. As I say, that's my new little quote, like, you know, where's the beef? You know what that's about way back when?
I remember that.
Okay, if you remember that, or what you talking about, Willis? You know what that is? Yeah. From good
Different Strokes.
Different Strokes, right? Yeah. Well, my thing is, this is your life, gosh darn it. Right? Okay. So, you gotta fight through. You don't stop at that first no. A Morning Connection podcast, number 169. I say you do no question, right? From the Karate Kid, when Mr. Miyagi, with all his wise life experience, all his knowledge, all his commitment to help the Karate Kid be his best. And the Karate Kid was just some young kid with the best intentions, a good heart, but he didn't have the life experience that Mr. Miyagi had, and he questioned everything that he did. Wax the car, wipe off, wipe up, wipe down, or whatever it is, right? And so, you know, he learned why Mr. Miyagi was the master that he was, but he fought it, you know, didn't understand all the reasons, and Mr. Miyagi put the hammer down. I say you do, no question. You'll figure it out later why this is important, which the Karate Kid did figure that out. And what stimulated that conversation, I'm going through a 17-week journey with my nephew, Ronnie. And so you can check that out. That's going to be a great thing both inside and outside of the gym. Go to skiplacour.com, skiplacour.com/journey. skiplacour.com/journey. We just completed our first week with my nephew, my 20-year-old, almost 21-year-old nephew, Ronnie LaCour. We're going through the 17-week journey before he goes off to college. And so it's going to be fun. It's just not about training. We have life lessons. We start off the week with a great coaching session where I got him really clear on what he wanted, the emotions all attached to it. You definitely want to listen to that. I have that in my podcast network. If you're listening to this through iTunes, you can catch that there. But go to skiplacour.com, go to podcast, or go to skiplacour.com/journey. Go to, I guess it was Sunday, May 18th. But you'll see it. It's the first entry on the bottom for Ronnie's journey. And it's a one-hour coaching session. I think you'll get a lot out of that. And follow the whole journey. I don't know all the details that I'm going to do over these next 17 weeks, but I know it's going to be powerful. I know it's going to be awesome. It's already helped me in so many ways get inspired and in coming up with content for some great podcasts. So excited about that. Morning Connection podcast, number 170. Why being extremely competent, doing what you're told and being good at it. It's never going to earn the very best things in life. It's just not. That's not how the system's set up to just be confident. Competent, you know, just doing what you're told and doing a good job at it. I kind of sell you on the reasons why you have to ask for a little bit more than that. And then ended off the week with Morning Connection podcast number 171. And I asked a question, can you differentiate yourself from the pack, from the competition, from everybody else who wants what you want without looking stupid from time to time or getting in trouble from time to time? And what stimulated that topic was someone who I respect, Mark Cuban. He kind of stepped into it a little, right? And, you know, I'm curious to see, you know, how this all comes through him, what the impact is. Now, we didn't know who Donald Sterling was when he made those comments, so that was a lot of people's their first impression of him, right? And so it stuck. Where Mark Cuban, he's been out there saying controversial things, things you like, you don't like. I think we may have a better feel who he is and what he's all about. So whatever he says, it may be taken in more of context or maybe a little bit more empathy and understanding.
Yeah.
I understand what the point he was trying to make is just that probably shouldn't have used that one example hoodie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because especially under with that Trayvon Martin mm-hmm. whole thing, and the hoodie was the thing, hey, don't stereotype people because of hoodies, right?
That, yeah.
Whether you do or not, that's not the point. That was the whole focal point, and all the stars on social media were wearing hoodies in solidarity with this whole empathy for Trayvon Martin, and that was the example he used of who he might be afraid of. But I think that's a good one because we're all faced with, we can't just be extremely competent. We can't keep our opinions. We got to put them out on the line if we're ever going to mm-hmm. be extraordinary. Why will people think you're an extraordinary person to be with? Or if it's your business, you provide extraordinary value if you just are always safe and politically correct. Somehow you got to get outside the box. Yeah. And if you do that enough, you're going to step on toes.
Yeah, you're never going to please anyone.
And you're going to get in trouble. You're going to do something not right.
Yeah.
It's not only about that's good. Well, you just put yourself out there. There's something someone's not going to like about you.
Yeah.
Right? But more than that, you're going to mess up. You're going to say something stupid that you'll look back, I shouldn't have said that. And a lot of people will remind you.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to look stupid. You may do something politically incorrect and get into some type of trouble. But it's understanding how that all works and how badly are you willing to take those risks to get the life that you really want. So that's a wrap up again. That was Morning Connection podcast number 171. I went through those rather quickly because I want to get to the meat of the topic today. You can go to sltips.com, SL, like for Skip LaCour, sltips.com/2000. All right, sltips.com/2000. That'll take you to a link to this recap that I'm talking about. So I suggest you listen to all six of these podcasts, but you can pick and choose if one sound especially interesting to you, sltips.com/2000. Let's go through one thing that we'll do if you're new to this podcast, whether it's on Blog Talk Radio or you're listening to this on iTunes. We go through these daily disciplines. I get you thinking just for 10 seconds to think about certain things, but we do it every single day. So you build momentum, you get better at it, you create more clarity. So here the questions are, and if you've been listening to this Morning Connection podcast, which I hope you have been, you know what the routine is. So what was that one thing that you did yesterday that impressed even you? Big thing, small thing, something in between. You stretch yourself, maybe a little, maybe a lot. You did it, you said, yeah, or hmm. Somehow, we're not always going to have these gigantic events, right? But that's how you build self-confidence, is constantly pushing yourself a little past what you would normally do. And the biggest thing is noticing it. That's what builds confidence, right? You don't want people saying, wow, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. Wow, you should be very proud of yourself. And you go, oh, you're right. I guess I did. You know, you want to take control of your own destiny, take control of your own thoughts by noticing these things. So what was it yesterday that you did that it impressed even you? Not you compared to other people. You know, I had a coaching session. Guy came to me for coaching, and we were talking about his particular situation, what would make him happy. And he kept on making it, well, compared to who?
And he
mentioned Mark Cuban or Donald Trump. And again, that was a softener. That was a way to soften up that pressure that he felt. That's the reason why he came to me, right? And that and you think, well, if I compare myself to Mark Cuban or to Donald Trump, everybody's going to be small. And that was a way, again, for him to soften this challenge that he was going through. And the reason why he came to me in the first place. So it's not you compared to other people, whether it's somebody who's outrageously successful to make yourself feel better in your situation. Well, I'm just a normal man. Or you compare yourself to someone who totally sucks. They're not paying attention. They're not going after life like you to make yourself feel better, right? It's not you versus those who are outrageously successful, and it's not you compared to people who aren't even paying attention in life. It's you compared to when you're honest with yourself, what you think you're truly capable of. You know, that's what you should be measuring about what impresses you. What was that moment yesterday that you just went, wow, life is pretty cool? It's not necessarily what you accomplish or achieve, but maybe you just felt good. Maybe it was the look in your baby daughter's eyes. Just, you know, you're just appreciative. You know, it's noticing those things in the moment. And I'm here as your coach, as your MTC, mental toughness conditioning coach, getting you just to think about these things a little every day. We're building this relationship. We have this rapport. We're buddies that check in with each other every day. And I'm taking you through a process every day so you think about these things. You know, for me, I'm so appreciative. You know, Karen and I, we put family is very, very important to us. And I'm sure you can tell that through all the podcasts as we're transparent and talk about. We know you can't help but know where our priorities lie. And we worked hard in our lives to get to this point. It didn't come necessarily easy for us. So yeah. If you're out there challenged with these type of things, you know, there is hope. You just have to know what you want and then go on that path to work towards it. But we understand. We have empathy for you. So we put a lot of priority into family. You know, Carrie's a stay-at-home mom. That's just what we've committed to do. And if that means I have to do 8 podcasts a week and work from, you know, 3:45 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, that's what we're going to do so she can stay at home and be the primary caregiver and give that consistency, you know, to our daughter, Brooklyn. Now, look, I'm not passing judgment on what you should do. I understand how challenging it is out there. And I'm not saying it's easy for us to do this, right? But that's just where our priorities lie. Again, not passing judgment. That's something that we set out to do. And so, you know, Brooklyn, you know, being those type of parents, how, you know, it's not just how Carrie sets up her life and her work schedule, or not her work schedule in this case. It's even how I set up my work schedule. You know, I want to be around. I do a lot of work from home. I focus on, you know, connecting with you all over the world through my home office many times with these podcasts, invested in the equipment rather than being somewhere. So I can, you know, give these breaks to Carrie when she needs it, be there for Brooklyn. It's just it's just a matter of priorities and then how willing you are to sacrifice and keep on inching towards your goal. Guys, we are so in the process, just like you. I just want to make that perfectly clear that we're not up on top of some mountain and trying to tell you how it should work, all right? But, you know, the magic moment for me was, you know, being appreciative of her 9-month checkup, right? But it's funny, Karen and I were talking about this. Our doctor, great guy, you know, obviously we took a lot of time to pick him out. But he's always so negative. He's always trying to prepare us for the worst. And he goes, well, you're really lucky that she hasn't been ill, you know, for 9 months. Then what did he say?
He said, but, you know, this is where it ends. It's all going to fall apart. He said it's all going to fall apart.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we can prove them wrong.
Like apocalypse is coming.
If not, we're going to just do our best, right? But that was a good moment. I mean, those things you want to appreciate, those little small victories when they happen. Then I ask you take 3 seconds right now to visualize that one thing, that one accomplishment that's going to take you months, if not years, of you stepping up in this manner. Like this MTC, this mental toughness conditioning that we're talking about. Months, if not years. That's what I want you to visualize. You know, if it's something, I don't know, a contest, if you're into fitness, you know, getting in shape, getting those abs, winning a contest in 8 months, not big enough for what we're doing right now. All right, an example would be for this journey that I'm going on with my 20-year-old nephew, Ronnie. See, a good one for him would be not the day he arrives at college, right, being confident, having that physique, you know, ready to kick butt at school, get that 4.0. Those are great goals, don't get me wrong, right? Being ready. It's not even to get through his last 2 years of school and getting that 4.0, having a great time, and you know, and camaraderie, all those college life that he's going to be remembered for the rest of his life in college. Again, that's a good one too, all right? But his goal for his life, his career, the dream that he's had ever since he's been watching sports on TV and playing sports is to be an ESPN SportsCenter sportscaster, right? And see, to me, that's something that, you know, again, I just give suggestions. People make their own choices. Just through my experience and my caring and, you know, my knowledge, I give suggestions, right? I think he should focus on that day in New York City, right off Times Square where they filmed that, right? Where he's doing his first day as an ESPN sportscaster, past the interview process, past the day he got it.
Yeah.
I mean, that first day on the set, and start visualizing what would that feel like? Where would he have a little flat, you know, in New York City? How is he going to be dressed? And although, you know, at that time, fashion might change, but just step into it and feel it. You know, what's his little slogan? Like I said, this is your life, gosh darn it. You know, so they all, you know, Chris Berman, if you, Carrie probably knows this, I'm sure. Chris Berman, ESPN, his is back, right? Or he's going all the way or whatever it is. You know, they all have their little trademark. Stuart, Scott, his is. And he's just cool as the other side of the pillow. You know, when a guy does well under pressure. You know, Ronnie, as you start visualizing, you know, what his little tagline is going to be. You know, what's his physique going to be? How is that suit going to look? You know, how is he looking into the camera?
Yeah.
See, that's the overall vision, right? See, because when you have that vision, and every single day you visualize that for 3 or so seconds, make it clearer, make it sharper, step into it, touch it, feel it. You know, maybe you're in front of it, and then you're seeing the light shining at you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. See, you can work backwards from there. Of course you're going to get a 4.0. Of course you're not going to do stupid things at school.
Right.
Of course you're going to join Toastmasters when your Uncle Skip suggests that. And if you, when you go to the journey, you'll know what I'm talking about there. All right. All these things, you're going to work out. You're going to exercise. You're going to go backwards and do all those things because you have this overriding vision. And that sometimes that can help you through the day-to-day of figuring out what to do. You know, every single day I think about my vision. When I do my Morning Connection podcast, I face our vision board that's in a prominent place. Because my vision is to help you become your very best, both inside and outside of the gym. I want to just provide tremendous value to you to make you just feel good and find strategies and go through this journey of life. Just make it a little bit easier and a lot easier than I went through, right? By sharing, you know, being transparent, sharing my pain, but also sharing, you know, how I figured things out eventually. So maybe I did it, I don't know, at 35, at 40. I want you to do it at 25, 30. Make your life a little bit better. And I'm going to provide so much value to you. You're going to support Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition. You're going to say, man, that guy knows what he's talking about. I'm going to get some coaching from him, some one-on-one coaching. I'm going to just give to create a win-win situation. But just, I got to talk my walk. We talked about this, right? Talk, walk, walk the talk, talk the talk, or whatever. I got to be the example. I got to be the epitome of what I teach, right? And so I don't tell you just give, which is one of the challenges of many people in this fitness industry is give, and you just think that it's all going to come around. And, you know, we've been in this industry for a long time. Guess what?
Guilty.
It doesn't come around, right? And maybe you'll just, you know, block your mind to it that you're not getting everything you're giving out, and you'll continue, or you'll be like the vast majority and quit and go on to something else. There is a way for you to win at the highest level and help other people win at the highest level. But you have to shoot for that win-win situation. That's what I'm shooting for. Man, I got this beautiful wife here. I want to reciprocate all her love and caring and taking care of me. I want to provide for her at the highest level. My children, right? My family's family, all right? So I have to be so connected to that vision. So every single morning, what, you think I want to get up at 3:45 sometimes? But, man, when I get connected to that overriding vision, man, all of a sudden, boom, things change. And maybe on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm not always at a level 10 as far as enthusiasm or mental sharpness, right? But I'm going to get as close as I can because I'm connected to my vision. So that's what the purpose of that three-second exercise is. And then is what you're doing right now the highest and best use of your time? Is what you're doing right now really connecting to those results that you really want? All right. Sometimes we go for the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in life, right? It makes us feel good in the moment. And we sometimes don't understand how that's keeping us away from what those feelings and emotions, that Thanksgiving dinner, so to speak, with all the food and the wine and the great times and memories being created. We settle for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, for me, after a while, that was with my bodybuilding and training career. Although I was awesome at it, I touch a lot of people's lives. It was really satisfying. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich can really hit the spot.
Yeah.
But if you have too many of them, it curbs your hunger to get what you really want. Sometimes you got to go hungry to build up that impotence, that desire to do whatever the F it takes to get what you really want. And sometimes those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I always want you to connect to those results. And then what are those results that you're really after? So those are the 10-second daily disciplines that I do with you every single day. With the Morning Connection podcast. Again, if you haven't listened to them yet, make sure that you do. They're right here on this More Than Just Muscles podcast.com, podcast network, iTunes, everything. Also get on the Morning Connection newsletter, and that's sltips.com/22. sltips.com/22. You know, if I'm ever rattling off all of these website addresses and resources, and you know, you're driving around or you're exercising, just send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com or carrie@createwithcarrie.com. We'll link you up to these resources, right? So don't miss out because you're not at a place to write those down. All right? So that's what we do. That's the Morning Connection Review. Again, if you went through those or you're joining the podcast late or you're in your car, go to sltips.com/2000, sltips.com/2000. It's going to give you this weekly review. All right, so let's get into the topic. Again, last week we talked about the red flags to look out for in women, right? Last week, I just pointed at the guys, gave you some insight and perspective. I really think guys out there, if you're in the dating process, whether you want to date a lot of women or you're looking for that woman of your dreams to build a life around, wherever you are in your life, listen to that podcast, all right? And I think this one will help you too. So, Carrie, why don't you start off? First of all, where did you get this article from, and who wrote it? It looks like it definitely has a
this is from the Elite Daily, and it was just a collection of different women telling their experiences with, you know, quote unquote crazy men.
Right,
so
right.
Each one of them kind of tells stories. So a lot of the things are repeated, but.
Right. Well, so you got this off the internet. It was from an article, and the title was
"The 31
Red Flags to Look for." And we'll link this article so you can reference that too on this podcast. One thing though is I can tell the perspective is totally by women. Like the article that we did last one, it was advice to men to look for the crazy the red flags in women. But it was compiled by a woman, so it kind of gave a different flavor on it. All right.
I think a lot of these things can be translated back to either or, you know, honestly.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So the first one on this list is he's got some baggage. And the story is, recently started talking to a guy. I sent him a text saying I was going home to change and get my car and I would be over. He flipped out saying, OMG, if it's such a chore, then don't come out. Followed by, you're probably stalling to screw your ex.
I don't see screwing that.
Well,
the F word. Right.
And then some other statements. Side note, we've been talking a week and never once have any of these problems arisen. So yeah, a red flag is that he's probably crazy. For me, you know, this guy is creating imaginary problems that don't exist. So that looks like trust issues, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
But I can easily see a woman doing the same thing.
No, yeah, that is exactly true. Again, I have a problem with the word crazy.
Right, yeah.
You know, because, look, we all have emotional baggage. The emotional baggage probably started when we were 5 years old. The question is, are we aware of it or not? And many times, guys, if you, you know, again, through my experience so many years studying, observing, being passionate about this subject, finding answers for myself. If you think, well, it started because my husband cheated on me, and that's where these trust issues started, or my girlfriend cheated on me, and you're 21 years old or whatever, right? Many times, it was certain things that were situated that happened when you were a lot younger than that, and you had a certain belief, a certain approach that you kind of either were attracted to, or you recreate it, the thoughts of an 8-year-old person. And it's just, so your 16-year-old girlfriend did it and your 21-year-old girlfriend did it, right? And so I have empathy for these challenges because many times it's, you know, what happened in your own home. You could have had a breakup, a bad divorce, a lot of yelling, bad examples from your parents. It could even be what you perceived as at 8 years old or 7 years old as a bad example from your parents. So you're just too young in life to really understand what the big picture is. The example that I like to use is your father could be, you know, busting his butt trying to provide for the family. And his job takes him all over the country, if not the world. So he's gone I don't know, every single day, it seems like, 5 days a week. And then when he does come home, he's tired or grouchy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At 6 years old, you don't understand that. You just know this man you love is distant. He's aloof. Right?
Right.
He doesn't love you. He makes you jump through these emotional hoops all the time. You become this pleaser. You think it's all on you. You don't even look at what you do. You have no measurement to know if what you're doing has any worth. Because at 6 years old, you think if you do a little tap dance, that's going to make your dad happy.
Yeah.
if your room isn't clean, that's going to make him sad. Where it really has nothing to do with you. He could care less. He's wrapped up in his own problem. But you don't understand that at six, you become this pleaser. You don't know. You think if you do this and you do this, you keep on observing other people, their reaction, which may have nothing to do with you. You can't even think of what you should and shouldn't do. It's all based on other people. That starts very early in life. And so you may think, well, it was my girlfriend at 21 or 35. No, it kind of happens before. That's why I have a real problem. You're too young to experience life, to understand that, you could be 45 years old and not even realize these patterns that happened a long time ago. You're too young to know, hey, my dad's busting his tail for us.
Right.
That's the kind of man that I want. Sure, it'd be great that if he was around more.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's putting himself under stress. Look, mom's at home. In this day and age, both the husband and wife are working. He's busting his tail. I don't look at that stress as something that of love that I'm not getting. I don't look at it as, he isn't doing what he should. I'm saying, man, this is a man who's willing to do whatever it takes to provide our family to have a higher level and not put me in daycare or something like that. But you're 6 years old. How the hell do you know about that? But unfortunately, they call that the imprint age. And you're going to carry what your perceptions with no life experience at 6 years old, you carry that forever. Here's where the real challenge comes in is a lot of times what traumatizes the most, that yelling, that screaming, that motion, right? Good times, bad times, that, is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is dad going to be in a good mood? Is it going to be a bad mood? Is my mom going to be up or down or all around? As a six-year-old, then you're 16 and then you're 26 and you're 46 or whatever. Your brain, that motion, that instability that you say you hate is something it's locked in your system that you're okay with. You don't have these boundaries because you never saw those boundaries. And you could say, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. But when you don't have it, it becomes boring. And then, as Carrie goes through this, I see so many women talking about their experience. Why can't he be this? Or there's a fine line between this, right? Like, I understand this, but he's too much that way or not enough this way. It's like they believe that their perfect balance, right, between being edgy and exciting versus
this is turning into women being crazy.
Well, I can speak from my perspective, but it goes both ways, and I'll balance that out, right? Or he's boring or she's boring or whoever, right? You think you have this perfect balance, but really – it's really because by your own personal experience, how much movement that you witnessed as a kid, your perfect balance that's in your head, you don't realize everybody has their definition of what that is. So when you say a guy or a girl isn't quite enough of this, right? That's some crazy rule I'm going to get away from that rule, crazy. But that's your perception of what the perfect balance is based on your life experience.
Yeah.
Again, I see this a lot of times on my Facebook. I see this this one NLP guy, the motivational speaker, and he puts a lot of things about forget about your past. Your past doesn't matter. Put it behind you. And although that's true, we are responsible for what we do from this moment on, and that's picking the right guy or getting away from the wrong guy. We are responsible. I just really believe if you do not recognize why you may have formed these rules and beliefs and these emotional feelings towards things when you were younger, where it all really happens, like they say, that imprint age. And then you don't have that empathy, love and warmth and understanding, at least for other people, that they went through their challenges. They're going to tell you about some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were a kid, and you're going to go, oh, that's so nice. Or that's so sweet. Oh, come here, little boy. You'll want to comfort them, right? But then when it comes up, it manifests itself with behavior and you don't understand that without some intense therapy for that person to understand or you to understand that that's how it got ingrained into your system. You're going to have to do some work to overcome that. You need to know why you're acting this way may have started when you're younger so you could do your work. And we all have these things. Or that guy you're dating or that girl you're dating, she's not crazy. And when she tells you those stories about her childhood, it is having an impact. And the best thing that she can do is get some intense therapy, get some help, get some coaching to think about it a little bit more, not go on autopilot. Again, because that autopilot was set, you know, when they were 6 years old. All right. Anyway, that's enough of a setup. You'll see that whole theme coming up over and over again during the.
Yeah. This kind of validates what you just said. So number two is.
Oh, let me just add too. Excuse me, Carrie, is that. Yeah, that's definitely red signs when he's assuming the worst.
Right.
Has a lot of trust issues, like we've talked about before. Many people who are attracted to this whole bodybuilding and fitness structure and predictability and don't mess with me, I'm on a roll. Why can't I just go to the gym? Why can't I just stop and eat? You know, quit messing up my thing. If you really love me, you wouldn't mess up my flow. That structure, that black and whiteness that you demand, that you don't think there's anything wrong with, right? Sometimes that gets, you know, in the way of your thinking when it comes to all of this. And when you see these red flags, number one, it's not about you, but you need to make a decision right there what you're going to do about it, right? You can't just go on autopilot because you've been in a relationship, because you like this guy, because you have 3 whole weeks invested in with him. You got to be able to be flexible to the situation as more and more information develops. But I really think that everybody has these red flags. It's what are you going to do about it, and then how are you going to take it personally? And I don't think a person, especially if this happens, the point that I was making about many people who go for this structure of bodybuilding and fitness, you know, is because there's certain trust issues in the past, whether they realize it or not. And when you don't have to rely on people and your happiness can just be dependent on you, when you eat those meals on time, when you execute a great workout, when you see your physique, it's you against you so much, right? And you start not depending on people. They're not a part of your happiness. That's a disaster to be good in the moment. That's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's definitely, if you want more feeling and more emotion and all the greatest things in life, that's not the same strategy. Right? It's not the same strategy. Trust issues are a big deal for a lot of people, in my opinion, all over the world, right?
Yeah.
In all occupations, especially those who are achievers, whatever they do, that's not always true. Nothing of anything, there's nothing that I say that's always true. But those trust issues, that person has trust issues that has nothing to do with you. And if you think you're going to change those by being loving, kind, and just, well, I will just show up on time and I'll do the things. If they have those trust issues, they can always interpret something that you're doing as you're probably stalking or doing your ex or whatever these things are. They can find it and just, oh, she's dressed up nice. She looks better than other. She has that glow. She just got effed. You know, they can find something in anything.
Yeah.
So if you think that you can reverse all this imprint conditioning from someone who has these trust issues, right? And then again, their ex-girlfriend did this and whatever, but it really happened probably a long time before that, and they just recreated situations. You know, don't think that just because you're going to be an outstanding citizen and everything, that they'll find a reason to, because they look at the world in a distrusting way. They'll find a way to do anything you do to support those beliefs that they have, that they don't want to have many times. But they have. They'll see that as the reality, and there's nothing you can do about it. So don't think that you can be so great that you can make them all of a sudden trust.
Yeah.
You know, and don't take it personally. And again, you know, I'm talking about these red flags, but at the same time, where does that show up for you? I mean, this isn't all about pointing the finger at other people, how messed up they are, how crazy they are. It's like, what does it say about me here? What can I learn from that?
Well, that's exactly number two. It says, this is the guy saying, referring to his past girlfriends, as they're all crazy. And that's, well, if all your past girlfriends are crazy, you know, maybe it was you that there was something wrong with, you know, if he has this belief that There's nothing wrong with him as is everyone else. Pretty soon you're going to be on that list, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'll tell you guys, as you're going through your manformation, as you are getting your stuff together, right, and maybe you do believe that all your exes were a certain way, at least keep it to yourself, right? That is not something you should say, right? Because it is a reflection on you. Why do you go for all these crazy situations? Now, you know, I guess it's kind of fun to say it every once in a while, but if you make this whole general pattern, you know, if a girl is smart, see, here's the thing is, you can talk about how crazy all your girlfriends are, guys, right? Or, you know, you can do that. I'm telling you, the girl who sticks around when she's crazy too, or you're a perfect match, right? No matter what she says, and ladies, we're giving you advice what to watch out for, guys. But if you keep on going through this, just because you did it for 3 weeks, and for 3 weeks he told you all about his crazy girlfriends, how each one of them is messed up, and then you continue for dating 3 months, oh, well, I have 3 months in, or I have 6 months in, or whatever. That's on you.
Yeah.
That's on you now, because you know what to do. You know the red flags.
Yeah,
if you keep on going through with it, you are a match.
Yeah.
I really believe if people are together, I don't care how messed up you think the other person is, that is your match. I mean, sure, I'll give you some grace period of time to figure things out. You know what I mean? But there are red flags. If you're with that person, especially for an extended period of time, or you go back and forth and back and forth, hey, look in the mirror, because that's your match. Even though they may do, and here's the thing is, they may have all these bad habits or something like that, or terrible, and we come to addictions and things like that. You may not be an addict like them, but they're, for every pro, there's a con. For every male outlet and a pug, there's a female outlet. There's always a match, right? For every yin and your yang, for every peg, there's a hole, so to speak. Meaning you may not be an addict, but you need to look at yourself if you are an enabler, or if you have codependency issues. That's what makes you the match, even though if you're not exactly the same as them. Because you rarely two addicts will get, well, that's not true either. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so number three, we hardly know each other. When a guy talks about a future with me on the first or second dates, it's happened several times now. I casually mention I want to move to New York City one day, and he'll frown and say, "Ah, but I don't want to. Can we move to this place instead?" Or talk about how cute our babies would be. I had to laugh at this one because on our first date, we had a conversation about having a baby. I mean, it was like a hypothetical situation, but I was laughing.
Well, I was probably, I mean, I don't remember that conversation, right? But I was probably qualifying you because I knew what I was looking for in a woman.
Yeah.
And being a great mother was very, very high on my priority list when I went up. And so, you know, there's some people who...
You did tell me I was very motherly. I think that was our second date, though, because you were sick at the time, and I was like,
"Oh,
I was giving you medicine and stuff." And
well, I through all my journey, I identified what was most important to me. You know, I identified it, and you know that you probably have friends. I mean, they're 30, 35, 40, and they may talk about having children, but they're really not.
Yeah.
Their life is not even geared to having children. That just tells me that being a mother isn't their absolute priority.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody can say, this is like working out in the gym, I train hard. That just because on a scale from 1 to 10, they think they're a 10 training hard in the gym, that doesn't necessarily mean they are. It's kind of really all relative. In this case, is it enough for you? Do they have enough motherly instinct? Will they put that as a priority for you? And so knowing what I was looking for, I think I'd probably stimulate a conversation to see what your thoughts are, because there's a lot of women who have, they just say flat out, I don't want to be a mother.
Yeah.
All right. Or they say, they're saying, you know, what, you know, things like, well, I want to be a mother, but I don't want to go through childbirth. It'll mess up my body.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I'm not casting any judgment on other people, but that helps me evaluate on a scale from 1 to 10, how important that is to them, to me, not to them.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, everybody can live their life any way they want, have their own values, what's important. You know, I'm sure my values don't match up with everybody's. But you need to take control of who you're dating and qualify them and not just hope, right? And you can find ways to bring
clarify,
that out sooner.
Take control of who you're dating.
Right. Well, you got to take control of your own thoughts and actions and identify what it is you want. And then when they're presenting themselves, you listen.
Yeah.
You watch. You observe. You listen to all these stories. Believe it or not, guys, if you're dating, right, or ladies, you're telling them a lot more. Now, if they're paying attention, that's a whole other thing. That's this whole man formation thing that I coach these guys. I tell them what to look out for. There are a lot of signs we give out. And also, they should just think about the signs that they're giving out. But a lot of it is taking control by knowing what you want. So, what I wanted to say about that, though, is there's a lot of things in here, and we'll go over them, that I can tell this was written by a woman.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain psychology in men that, ladies, whether you want to believe this or not, and guys, whether you want to believe this or not because you think you're a nice guy, especially at the beginning of dating, so much, ladies, I'm sorry to disappoint you, so much is driven by sex. The desire for a man to have sex, the guys who maybe who were raised by single mothers and they always looked at things from a woman's perspective, maybe they cloud that feeling of that sexual urge up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes we're out of our mind. We'll say whatever, we'll do whatever, whatever to think we need. And we don't understand it. We may look back on it later and say, you know, Jesus, I didn't even hear what she said. It was just blah, 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 blah. Hey, wow, you're so funny. Oh, you're so interesting. They're just saying whatever the hell they want to have sex, and they'll worry about the person later on. And so
we don't want to hear that. Well, we want to believe all that fluffy stuff.
No, but see, that's the thing about it.
After we get home and we call our girlfriends, he said this and he said that. And
well, I'm not saying that it's necessarily untrue. And I'm not saying that he didn't even believe that at the moment. Really, you have to look at the big picture. How focused this
now
guy
I'm like, how are all those compliments you gave me? I'm like,
this was the thing that I needed to, you know, add to that.
Right.
Because it's not always a bad thing. If the guy is driven, focused, if he's looked at all areas of his life, if you can tell he's very introspective, you know, he has a vision board. That means he put a lot of thought into what he says. And so hopefully he's already kind of qualified you before he even asked you out on the first date. And hopefully, even if he wanted to have sex with you and he sees that you're not a match, or at least at the beginning stage, that he's not a match, what he has figured out is his long-term vision, what he really wants into a woman. He may not know it. He may just be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Short-term, right now, oh, yeah, this, that. I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, she never wants to have kids. Oh, but look at those boobs, man. I want some of that, right? And so it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's not the Thanksgiving dinner for him, but he's just – he may not even understand that till later. He's going to just say whatever he wants to say. So I just think that's an important thing with all these things that seem crazy. This could be a guy who just isn't very smooth, doesn't understand he's coming across this way, which, trust me, you know, look, guys, I've been through a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. I mean, I may have mastered a lot of things, all right, where you're not going to, at 25 years old, how are you going to know all the things that I know? You're just not. You haven't been doing it long enough, right? And the thing about it is that could be that guy's style. He thinks that's what the woman wants to hear.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Because, I don't know, maybe he interpreted it as, oh, all guys don't want to commit.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's her experience. And he might go, oh, I'll show her I really want to commit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he might have not be strong in his own frame and not have his vision of what he really wants all figured out. Right? And so he's just this moldable piece of jelly, clay. Well, what does she want? I'll try to be what she wants.
Yeah.
And so maybe he's saying that because that worked on the last girl. Or, oh, how cute. He maybe got a positive. It could be just a strategy because that's what he wants you to hear. Or maybe just get in your pants. The thing is, some of these things, you might have to not make them a definite black and white and then kind of look at a bigger picture. But really evaluate his whole life, his past, present, future, how he talks about different things in his life, you know, how dedicated he's motivated. Maybe during this podcast, there's a lot of things that I can share to give you a bigger picture into the mind of men. So that's just one thing.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think the guy's crazy or too clingy. He might be just going for a strategy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Number four says, he asked me to make a minimum payment on his credit card statement. Finances have been rough that month. We had went on about three dates. I was 20 and he was 30.
You know, on this one, I would say definite red flag.
Yeah, I don't want to be dating a guy that doesn't have his shit together. You know?
Right. Well, like I said, everybody may have challenges, all right? So, you know, I try to be empathetic. But here's my point is I do not have any rebuttal or a different side to as far as ladies. Yes, that's a red flag. Number one, it's a red flag. You know, he may be having some financial challenges. That's one thing. But if he doesn't have enough pride, especially at the beginning of the relationship, to find an MFing way to make it happen. There are a million ways to make money. He shouldn't even be sitting with you there. He probably should be out there hustling or worrying about or doing something rather than having a short-term peanut butter jelly sandwich by even starting this relationship with you. He should be putting that impotence, that power, that creativity that he's saying whatever to get in your pants. He should be putting that into making his money and then come back. But if he doesn't have enough pride to not say that to you, whether it's happening, that is a definite red sign. It's only going to be challenges from there.
It's kind of demasculating, isn't it? I mean, I don't know.
I'll tell you this, and I think this is true in fitness in a lot of ways, because a lot of times, you know, guys in fitness, they're so focused on their body and the structure, and then giving to other people, right? I help other people. I inspire other people. I give them strategies. I don't ask for money. And they say, money is important. Well, guess what? 5 years, 10 years later, they keep on saying that. They don't have any money. Yeah. They don't understand that's a bad strategy. You can have money and help other people, but you have to ask yourself that question. You can't say money isn't important, right? The challenge is with many people in fitness and a lot of new age men, where the women have convinced them that everybody, that we're equal, yet a woman says that, but she wants a man. I believe many want a man to be a man. And if they don't want a man to be a man, and it's okay that she makes the majority of money, and not just in the short term. I mean, it's just okay. Well, there may be some balancing things that she needs to have happen for her to feel comfortable in a relationship. I think that's very true of a lot of very successful, powerful women. You'll see the men that they attract usually aren't as successful.
Yeah.
There's more to that than balancing.
Yeah.
And I do think that some men, they think it's okay. Oh, they've been convinced that money doesn't matter, even though they may not believe that. When it comes to love, there's more things important than money. Yes, there are more important things than money. But that doesn't mean you can't get down there and take care of yourself. Look, natural selection, right? The best women, the most attractive, who have the best values and brains, and they have the best personalities, and those values, you know, that you really want, they're going to be more selective. So I don't care if you're handsome and you put health and fitness as top priority, your all those type of things. They'll get you a smart one. Now, there will be some misguided, crazy ones who may appear like they have their stuff together, right? But the smart one, if it was your sister or your daughter, right, you would want her to be more qualifying. Guys, we know each other, right? And having money doesn't make us better, and doesn't make us worse, right? Wouldn't you have your sister and maybe your daughter go for the guy who is handsome, attractive, cool, just like you think you are, and who's driven to make money, right? You would want the best for them. You become that best yourself. And at least do have the pride not to ask her for money, especially Don't even share that with. That's your own thing.
Right.
Don't even hope for empathy and understanding, because that's going to take the pressure off you to do something about it.
Right.
You know, if you have a girlfriend that's so understanding of all your problems, oh, at least I'm in peace with her. I can understand how it's comforting in the short term. That could be sabotaging, again, that impotence that you just, I got to change this, because you can have a loving shoulder to cry on. So that isn't something that you want to expect, and it's not her problem, right, that she doesn't give that to you. Actually, the smart ones, the healthy ones that won't be crazy later in the relationship would say, hey, we'll get those things handled, and we'll meet up later.
Right.
And hopefully she'll just go away forever.
Yeah.
She'll tell you that, so you'll feel the pain, so you'll get those things straightened out. And again, I'm not saying that you're not going to go through financial challenges, right? I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I am saying you should have enough pride to not use that as some type of dumping ground or look for any type of solace or understanding. This is you versus you to find a way to make it work. If you think that's an attractive quality, or it's even a benign quality that you can say that, you are wrong. Again, the best of the best of the women, they're going to look for the best of the best of men. Think about it. Evolution's sake, you want to find, a woman wants to find a man who is going to find a MFing way to make it happen, to provide the most options and the most comfort and the best school, the best house. You know, he doesn't have to have it, but he's driven towards it, right? That would be a good mate for her and her future children. It's natural selection, right? So if a woman selects you and you're saying this and that's okay, don't be surprised if she has other issues that come up, because the smart ones are going to go away. So you need to take care of that area of your life, guys. Don't rationalize that it's okay, money doesn't bring you happiness, you know, and things like that. I'm not saying it's not an either or thing. What's next there, baby doll?
Number five, he shows up at your job unannounced and you barely know him. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Unless, again, he bought into some wussy type of, oh, that's what the girl likes. Her last boyfriend, he never showed up. He never texted her.
Right,
he just disappeared for days. She likes it when she knows I'm available. It just might be a bad strategy from an inexperienced guy. But, guys, that is a bad strategy.
Number six, he's super uncomfortable with me having male friends.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to go off on this one. All right, guys and ladies. And again, it goes back to this unfortunate realization that I'm going to have to give you, ladies. And men, you know, I really believe that most guys who have enough balls and confidence to go for what they want, they know what they want, they're going to agree with me. If you're kind of in that nice guy thing where you're still trying to figure it out, you may have a challenge with this. Hopefully you'll make your man formation. Whether it's months or years from now, you will come to my side. I feel really confident about this one. And this is about women having friends that are men. All right? Now, ladies, I'm not going to put the pressure on you on this one. You may really want that guy as a friend. I know guys who'd say, oh, she just likes those penises around her because it makes her feel good, or she has a backup. I'm not gonna jump there. What I'm going to tell you, that a lot of guys, most guys, they're driven by sex primarily, right? They're always scheming for a way to get in the girl's pants.
That's, what if it's a gay friend?
Well, gay. that's an exception. It's a gay friend. But yeah, that would be different. That would be different, right? But you know, I'll just deal with that separately because it's kind of a whole different energy. It's a whole different level. That would go into friends. See, that would be in the category is, why does she have to have so many girlfriends? Again, where it really depends on where she is. Is she a teenager? Is she in college? Or is she 42 years old?
Well, we're talking about male friends, right? Okay.
Right. Again, that's kind of where the gay thing kind of fits into that other category. I guess we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's talk about the male friends. You know, some guys don't have enough courage, confidence, the balls to ask for what they really want. I think you're sexy. Would you like to go on a date? I know you have a boyfriend, but you can always trade up to me or whatever, right? You know, they're going to try to, you know, sneak around the back door and just try to hang within proximity. And whether that will work on you or not work on you, a lot of guys want to just be your friend. And then don't be surprised, ladies, where 3 months later, will you go out with me? I see you just broke up with Johnny. You're going, ew, Joe, what are you talking about? I thought we were just friends. You know, if he was honest, I was never friends. I was just waiting in the bullpen until you broke up with your boyfriend so I can have my chance. And this is the best way I thought about doing it, right? Most guys, I don't care. Look, a guy should be driven. He should be on his own path, right? I'm not saying the occasional thing, but you know, he should. A girl who's in a relationship, first of all, why would you want to spend so much time with a girl who's already in a relationship? And look at that. Even if your plan is to somehow talk your way into her because she's so awesome, even if you win that battle later on and she's going out with you, you're not going to let her have friends, right? Because you know you were that friend who snuck in the back door, and now you're screwing her, right? So it's not a good strategy to begin with. But guys, they like to do that. They like to be buddies. They like to be friends for proximity because they don't have enough confidence to go for the direct approach. Now, again, ladies, you want to deny that, oh, you don't know. That's not Joey. Look, I'm not talking about you, your judgment. I'm just talking about from a man's perspective. And I'll tell you, my bros who have enough balls to go for what they want and not take this indirect route, it's not going they're not just friends most of the time, right? Here's the other thing about it, about why people connect, right? Do you know that a man and a woman, they cannot have anything in common. They could be totally opposites, right? That's why, you know, if we get into the Match.com and dating, I've got some things about that where you're on Match.com, you could have a relationship. You probably could walk past five people that you could be in a relationship probably every single day,
yeah.
Right? Oh, I don't have time, whatever. Look, this is the thing about attraction. It is not an analytical type of thing where you measure it out all the time, right? So here's the deal, is that two people who are in a highly emotional situation together, all right, well, so let's just say you go with, you're a woman and you go with your guy friend who's straight, right? He has a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend or whatever, husband or wife, right? And you go to a concert that you just both like, I don't know, Justin Timberlake, he's kind of, right, saw a biography, right? And you're both just going, yeah, this is the best concert. You're both in this highly emotional state together. You are all, boom, you are linked together on this inexplicable way that attraction does not work on a conscious level. So guys, you let your girl go to any type of an event with that high emotional state. You're just creating the opportunity. It's not necessarily that they're together, they're opposites, that it was planned. It's just not a good idea to put two people, men and women, who are straight in a highly emotional situation. They will become linked, whether you realize it or not. So the more and more she hangs out with those guy friends, the more and more chance. If you don't care, fine. But that's, you have to understand, it's not what you intend. It's not what you think. It's not a conscious thing. Right?
Yeah. I remember at that Tony Robbins seminar when he said, I think he used the work as an example.
Yes.
That's, he's like, okay, you go to work every single day. You see the same person every single day. It's like, hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. And then all of a sudden one day you see him and it's like, boom, where did that come from?
Exactly.
Like, all of a sudden you're attracted
to this
person.
And, you know, if you caught the tail end of it, he said, his point was, you need to understand that and you need to be that person for her or for him. Because at work, you have stress and you have deadlines and you're going to win. Yeah, we got the deal. Or we screwed the deal. That was the other part that I was going to make about this. It's not just some awesome concert where you're at that high emotional state that way. All right?
Yeah, it could be.
It could be the World Trade Center. And
yeah.
You were both
yeah.
at the same place going through that and you wondered and you were scared and whatever. Boom, you're linked. Right? That's how it works. That is not a conscious level. If you don't understand how human beings work, that's why men and women who are in relationships shouldn't work out together. It's almost cliche. How many times do you hear about these couples and the guy screwing your best friend, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're going out, you're drinking, you're having good times as couples. And you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, boom, they link up. They're in this highly emotional state. They're now linked. They lock eyes. That's the way it works. You know, you can be disciplined and you can not go for this, you know, emotional connection you made and not follow up. Hopefully, I mean, if you value your relationship, you won't. But that's, you're just asking for trouble. Now, women don't understand that because they think they're in control of it. They think they can consciously choose their mates. Come on. If you think that's true, ladies, look in your past. Remember that guy who was such a screw up? Like, why did I ever go out with him? Why did I go out with him for 3 whole years? It's because
seven.
These reasons that are inexplicable. And you're setting up a situation that could happen. Guys, don't let that happen. Ladies, understand that it's not totally in your control who you're going to be attracted to. And you have references in the past. You have references in the past where that's happened. And ladies, don't let guys have... it's especially true. Ladies, don't let guys have girlfriends that they do a lot. First of all, they should have better things to do than hanging around girls that are friends. But secondly, you have that same thing, that highly emotional state, whether it's positive or negative, that can link them together. But you also have guys sometimes aren't so selective about who they have sex with. And she could just say, you know, I don't have a boyfriend. A woman generally may if a guy says, hey, Jane, I know we're just friends, but you want to have sex with me? Women don't necessarily work on that level most of the time, not all the time. They it's easier for them to say, no, I'm not linked up to you that way, right? Guys don't have to be linked up to have sex, right? So ladies, you want to have your guy friend have girlfriends? Oh, I don't care, right? Well, number one, he could get linked to her emotionally from some event, right? And then now he has this attraction to her. Or she just may be in a dry spell, maybe broken up with her boyfriend. And then she says, ladies, because you know this, you could go to any guy and say, hey, you want to have sex with me? Hey, no strings attached or whatever. I mean, he's going to have to fight himself to say no. Most guys, depending on their situation, aren't going to say no. So if you want a piece of tail hanging in front of your guy friend who could say that at any minute, and then he's got to really, but I'm going to not do this. I really love my girlfriend. No, this is wrong. Why put yourself in that situation? Don't you got better things to do? Hell, I look at my dream board. I got some serious work to do than hanging out with some girl that isn't my wife and friend. But that's just Skip's point of view here. All right. What's next?
Okay.
What do you think about that? You're taking a deep breath. What do you think about my little?
No, I mean
there?
I agree. I just think there's a lot of people out there. They're going to be like, "Well, what? We can't go out with our friends now?"
I explained all that though.
Yeah,
I mean, we've never talked about this. You know, but I mean, did you think differently? How do you think now? Did I sell you on?
No, I think that's a good point for sure.
Well, yeah, like I said,
sometimes you just want to have fun with people, you know.
Well, you see it all the time. Happening, and then you think, well, that's happening. Look, if you see something that's always happening to other people, all right, you get yourself in those same situations. I'm not saying it's always going to happen, but you give yourself more likely for it to happen.
Yeah.
God, don't think you're so superior. I mean, we're human beings with same emotions. We're not 100% the same. I'm not saying that, but you put us in the same situations.
Yeah.
There's the likelihood, right? More people are more disciplined than others. Some people are more focused on their goals and dreams and visions. I'll tell you, skip to the chase about these red flags and everything like this, ladies. Mm-hmm. The guy who's more focused, he's got a vision. He's taking the time to think about a vision. He talks about his vision. But more importantly, that he gets up every single morning and executes his vision, whether he succeeds or fails or somewhere in between. That, if anything, that's the guy that you want. Because all these other silly things he's not going to do because he doesn't have time for them. They don't work into that ambitious vision. That can qualify a lot of these things. And I could tell you as we go through this, and I'm kind of rambling on because, right, what do we have? We have about 17 minutes left and we've only gone through four of these. but it's a general, theme, right?
Yeah.
That goes through all this. Again, the more focused, the more committed. And, that he's taking the time to think about these things, he's not going to have a lot enough time to be getting into these challenges. But I hope that at least my understanding, my experience of in the references that I point out, the examples that you've seen happen to other people in everyday life, I hope I've supported my case about all this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Well, look, I remember I dated a girl and, it's like after things, settled down for about, 3 months or so, she said, that, hey, all right, so, this is something I do. I go out with my girlfriends three nights a week.
We
just have dinner and this and that. Look, a person can do anything they want. It's not up to me to judge what they do. Go for your life. But then that's a piece to a puzzle. Why do you have that need? And why is, at your age, connection challenging for you? Even though you're nice, even though you're attractive, even though you've got a lot of great things, that very much could be, look, you could rest, you could work, you could spend that time connected. Three nights a week is a lot, to me, right? And I'm not saying dancing and doing all this, but even the fact that you have your challenges in life or you need connection or whatever, if you want a long-lasting committed relationship and you're with a guy who wants a long-lasting committed relationship, all that energy, it's really peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to there. You could invest it in this person you want to build life if that's really what you want. If you are fearless, if you are courageous, if you are aware to know that's what you want, there's a lot better ways to doing, in my opinion, but that's just me. That's just me, and anybody can, relationships are merely agreements between two people. There's nothing right or wrong. It's what two people agree with. And hopefully when they agree with that, I mean, they're of sound mind. They know themselves. They know what they want. And then they're agreeing to that. Right. So yeah. Anybody can, hey, you don't mind. Carrie, you don't mind if I go out five nights a week and I come home at three, do you? I mean, you could say yes, that's okay with me. And that could be our agreement that you agree to. But that doesn't mean you're in sound mind of what you yeah. really want and bold enough to ask for what you want just because we came to an agreement. Right. So yeah. I say a relationships are agreements made between two people, and then provided that both of them have enough courage, confidence to know what they really want as they come up to the agreement. It isn't like one using the other as a doormat, or one, you know, just yeah. tricking the other person or whatever, right? Okay, what's next?
Next is guys who want to have sex without a condom. I'll pull out, or I don't have diseases, I swear, are not convincing. I'm sorry, but you do realize how people get pregnant and STDs, right? Guys who want to have sex without a condom make me instantly nope the F out of there. I don't know. I mean, it's like if you're on the pill, you make him take a test and he comes clean. I mean, I don't see. Yeah, no, I think it's personal, I guess.
No, I mean, really it depends on the guy you were with.
Yeah.
And again, I'm trying to add some insight. I mean, look.
I've done that before. I'm like, show me a test.
I'm just saying is that, you know, you can make up black and white rules, and I can just add some insight to that. Look, if a guy, maybe he's older, he's more experienced, maybe he hasn't been in a whole bunch of committed relationships, right? And it's just like an adrenaline junkie, right? A guy who, you know, gambles, you know, a guy who does, I don't know, speed sports. You know, that whatever you do in life, there's always a higher level, right?
Yeah.
That whatever you do a lot, it becomes mundane. And so there's a higher level to it. And then it's like, well, what kind of risk taker a person is, right? It could be just the fact that it just feels so much better without a condom because he's had a lot of condom sex and that's not enough for him, right? Even though the sane thing is to do, right? It could be the fact that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because you think about it, like with professional athletes, right? With all these kids that they have out of wedlock. I mean, obviously, they know that they should have, you know, sex with a condom for all those reasons, pregnancy, another child support payment, how that looks to their image and future endorsement contracts or whatever. It's just that maybe they've just had so much sex with so many women. I've gotten away with it 100 times before. I really want to feel, I don't want to settle for a scale from 1 to 10 during this experience. I don't want it to be a 6 that it would be with a condom. Maybe for them, they have to have that just to get off because they're, you know, so experienced. So there's other things to think about there, right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm going to skip a little bit here. So this one, page 5, by the way. He wouldn't let me wear shorts because, quote, no one should be able to see that but me. Sadly, this didn't strike me as crazy possessive until after the relationship ended. Yeah, that's kind of lame. I mean, I've had a similar situation, which is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if you're, like, dressing really provocatively and, you know, you don't want to be doing that. But
well, again, here's this
if
balance.
If it's like you can't wear shorts at all.
Right. Well, it's that balance of what that guy thinks is appropriate or not. I hear that a lot of women, like, say that. And guys make, you know, bad choices or they set a bad frame. It's like they meet the girl. And again, ladies, this way you have to understand he's so primarily driven by sex. He doesn't know how smart you are. He doesn't know how funny you are. He doesn't even care. Maybe he says, oh, you're so funny. All the rest of the girls aren't like you. How the hell does he know, right? That's just because he's got this goal in mind. He's results driven and it isn't necessarily. He doesn't even know you to build a life around you. So if it sounds like he's trying to build a life around you, how does he even know that, right? Okay. So sees these girls very provocatively dressed. They're sexy. You got boobs showing, the short shorts or whatever. All the boys are saying, well, look at that. Yeah, I'd like to do that. Yeah, I like to. And then he's the man who gets her, right? Look at this. Well, that's going to be great at the beginning. Hey, here's like my little trophy. Look what I conquered. Not like guys think that way, but if they did, right? Well, once he gets into a relationship, now he's got to lock down. You know, he's got to lock down his investment, right? He doesn't want it.
Yeah.
He knows how he thought about it when he saw her like that, right?
Yeah.
The average, we don't need, the job has been filled. We can take down the help wanted sign. You know what I mean? And that's all that is, right?
Yeah.
You know, but the thing about it, guys, is you just need to think ahead. That may be unfair of you. If that's what attracted you and now you want her to stop, then maybe that's what she likes. You know? I mean, there was a point in my single life when, you know, I'd be at a club where the girl with the, you know, way, you know, it's like they're way too young to have all this, you know, $3,000 purse and all that. Just this whole energy about them, what they're all about, sexual, this and that. You know, how they kind of, oh, they all just want to stand 3 feet behind you with their back to you. You know, they're just getting in your proximity because they don't, you know, whatever, right? I mean, I would just be like, I can already pre-qualify that shtick. Could I be wrong? Could I be judging them harshly? Yeah, there's 7 billion people on the planet. You know, I don't need to take that risk. You know, that's just me.
Yeah.
We don't owe everybody a fair shake to get to know them. There's not enough time, too many people on the planet we have to use some judgment going in, right? And what I'm just saying is that it's basically he wants you to take down the help wanted sign. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, didn't you fill that position with me? You know what I mean?
Yeah. This one's funny. This is when they say, if you have to say this, you're probably not a nice guy. And it's quote unquote, I'm a nice guy. All girls just want to date douchebags. That's equivalent to the I'm not like other girls from last week.
Yeah. You know what? I did make a note on that.
I think we talked about that the other day.
Yeah. I think that you're right. And that was my first when I went through this. If someone says, if he would have just said that he's just a nice guy, he's just a nice guy and left it at that, I would say, that was my first thing. Then he mustn't be that nice because he's saying that. But because he added that second part, that all girls just like douchebags, he's making a bad mistake on a couple of things. Let me kind of talk about a man's perspective on this. Number one is that he really shouldn't throw out, you know, his view of the world. Because that comes out of pain. That comes out of frustration. That comes from his frustration with women and how they think. And that he hasn't figured it out, and he's just verbalizing it because that's his experience, right? The thing about it is, if he finds that, if he dates girls that only like bad guys, okay, there's something with that woman that's what she's attracted to. And she could say all what she wants. Oh, I hate these jerks. I hate these jerks. I hate these jerks. But if she keeps on going towards jerks, that's what she is, that hardwiring, like I told you, that emotional, that's what she's connected. She may not understand it, but there's a reason why she goes through that. There are a lot of women out there who haven't had unfortunate things. You know, the parents broke up. Dad was a jerk. Maybe dad didn't even break up with mom, but he just was maybe distant, or she perceived him distant. Alcohol, drugs, whatever that caused, that too much movement, too much drama earlier in life. Again, what happens is what we say, what traumatizes the most, we have this inexplicable attraction to. So if a girl likes all these bad guys, there may be some things, that's what she likes. Even maybe not intellectually, maybe she'll tell you something different. There's a reason why. I talked about this before. There's this litmus test. If you say to a girl, well, you do have a bottom where you just cut it off. If a guy acted a certain way, you wouldn't date him, right? And then I said, so if you said, hey, well, I just want to tell you, I murdered 3 people. I'm out of jail for 10 years now. Really, I pled insanity. I just want to let you know that. Right? I mean, I hope, I can't even say this for sure. I hope you would say, good luck to you.
Yeah.
I hope your life goes well. I'm not taking a chance with my life if that's something in your past. I'm not saying that people don't go through challenges and then, you know, everybody has their stuff. I'm just saying there's a bottom for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to figure out what your bottom is and then stick to it. But so he's just talking about his stuff. And if a girl likes crazy guys, that's what she likes. I don't care what she tells you. That's what she likes. That's who she's attracted to. She hasn't worked it all out, that she's got to get over that craving, that appetite for that. And do just like if you're dieting for a contest or you want to have ripped abs, you can't have the chocolate cake, even though you want it. You can't have the pizza, even though you want it. You have to discipline yourself off of it. But that doesn't mean you don't want it. You discipline yourself off. It's for the greater good in the end. Well, a woman has to go through her process, therapy, coaching, whatever it is. Even though she's attracted to that bad guy, do it for the greater good. What's the best thing for her life? You know, just like pizza or, you know, chocolate cake when you're dieting. But that takes an awareness. It takes a lot of work. But we all have those things. We all have this inclination to want something that's bad for us in life or food or whatever. That doesn't mean that we don't have the discipline to do what's best for us in the long run. So I'm not saying give up on all girls who had a bad past or whatever, but she's got to work her way through it. So that may be a signal to me, if that a guy, that's a guy's experience, that he picks bad these girls who are challenged with that. And then the cycle repeats himself. All right. The other thing, too, is that maybe he thinks that's what girls want to hear, because they always, where are the good guys? Where are the nice guys?
Yeah.
All the guys are jerks. All guys are pricks. He's heard that so much. That's just a very primitive strategy that he has to get you, get your attention, get in your pants. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm a nice guy. All the other guys are jerks. You know, instead of proving that by being who he is, by talking about all the great things that he, well, anyway, that's a whole different topic. You just get the sense that this guy knows where he's going. He's gone through life. Some of that, just by conversation, but not by him telling you directly he's a nice guy. But I'm just telling you, that could just be a strategy to create that automatic link. I'm sure you had bad guys in the past. All right. I hear that from all the girls. I'm going to tell her right now I'm a nice guy, and all the other guys are just jerks. Right. You know, that's guys, and, you know, guys have these stupid strategies on, you know, how to get girls. Right. And a lot of times guys don't see. Here's another thing, ladies, about guys and the ones who know you're in a relationship, know you're married, and they still come on to you. Don't take that as such a compliment. Right. That you're so wonderful. Oh, they know I'm married. They just still want me because I'm so wonderful. Let me tell you about most guys. Basically, they're insecure. That's number one. And secondly, they'll say whatever they can, many for sex. Right? So here's the insecurity part. You're taken. You're attractive. There's somebody that you would like or whatever. Right? If you say no to them, that's like a free shot. It doesn't count. Well, of course she said no to me because she's in a relationship. But if you say yes, it's all win, no lose. That's what a guy does with no confidence. Right? Isn't because you're so amazing, so whatever. He's just hoping that you have a weak moment. He's hoping then he gets what he wants, and he didn't even risk his ego. A real man, there's 7 billion on the planet. He goes for the girls that he really wants, right? And he could go straight into a great relationship, not go into a relationship. And then even if he does get her, you know, he's complaining that she's a whore, she's a slut, she cheated on her husband or boyfriend. But with you, you know, he's smart enough that he doesn't even want to go down that route and work on the other 7 billion people, you know, on the planet. All right. So a lot of times that's out of insecurity, a guy's insecurity to take that route. Right. Or it's a can't lose situation. Right. That he's going for it because he wants sex. So all these things, just remember that about guys, about some of the stuff that they say that. You, like I said, a lot of these things, you can tell they're written by women because it's a woman's perspective on how they think guys think, and then their judgment of how a guy presented himself, and they don't even know the real story. So hopefully I'm adding dimension to you guys, ladies, to you ladies, about how a little bit more than what's the obvious, this what's written from a woman's perspective, to understand all that. And no, not to blast guys, but you have to know what you're playing with, right? You have to understand all that.
Well, one of them was actually that they compliment you too much. So maybe that's just a guy that doesn't know how to play the cards right.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and a guy who's really smooth, a guy who really knows, he knows how to not give those compliments, because the majority of guys, they take that simple, what they believe, hey, girls love compliments. That's, you know, oh, you're so wonderful. You're so pretty. I wish I had a girl like you. Your boyfriend's so lucky, or whatever the hell they say. Does he know what he has? If I would have you, I would blah, blah, blah. And ladies, I know you've heard that bullshit line before, right? Hey, wait a second. That's what Joe at the office is telling me right now. Yeah, you know, you probably heard it many times if you were paying attention, right? So they just compliment, because that's what they think that they should do. And then there's guys on the other end who are really smooth, right? They know that they need to go the opposite. Women get dependent, that all guys are looking at them, especially if they wear clothes or this or that. I mean, women, it doesn't, there's a million guys, they're driven by sex. It doesn't take that much for a woman to have guys attracted to them. Now, if it's the guys they want attracted to them, that may be a different story. So all they do from the time they're 14 years old, they're bombarded and bombarded and bombarded and bombarded with guys coming on to them in creepy ways, to passive ways, to I just want to be your friend way. And then 3 months later, they say, I always wanted you more than a friend. Hit, 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 hit. This strategy, that strategy, that strategy. Ladies, it's all strategies. Right? They don't know you yet. They don't know how wonderful you are. They don't know how funny you are. They don't know any of these things. It's not driven by what you think. Okay? Well, there's hope on the other side, right? I mean, but you need to kind of understand. How does he know how wonderful you are? Because what? He says it? What? So he meets you and just thinks it's wonderful. And then you can say, oh, by the way, I shot 2 puppy dogs yesterday. Well, no, it was fate when we came together. Wouldn't he be smart to say, girl who kills puppy dogs, I'm out of here, right? Oh, no, I got to keep on doing this because I told her yesterday, does she know how great her boyfriend is, right?
Boyfriend has it.
Yeah, or whatever. Does he appreciate you if you were my girl or whatever? And then you tell him you shot 2 puppies. He's probably going, holy, that's that guy's problem, right? He doesn't have to just continue on, right? When you see things along the way, you can learn and make adjustments along the way. It isn't those initial thoughts and reactions. Right? I mean, right, it sounds so obvious right now, right? But when people call love and emotions and those type of things, there's a lot of ego that goes along. Because if somebody really thinks you're wonderful, that makes you feel good about you more than if it's accurate or not, right? So, boy, I tell you, we can go on and on and on this podcast. But I think we're going to end it here at this. But I think that even though we only got through a fraction of the list, ladies, hey, send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. What do you think? You going to challenge me? Guys don't really think that way. Maybe you think that way because you're just a pig, Skip. Well, you might want to think I'm a pig. You have 182,000 podcasts to listen to me all talk about life, and you can make that judgment, right? Listen to those podcasts. What do you think of me? If you think I'm a pig, then discount everything I said. But if you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance that, that guy seems balanced. He's got a heart. He's made mistakes. He's this and that. And I'm telling you this, maybe I have some advice that maybe help you out. Figure out, especially if you have challenges, going on. I'll tell you something. It took me a long time to get this whole thing. I've taken a very unique route. I appreciate it because I can share this perspective with you. This wasn't a guy who, just had it his whole diet made or whatever. I went through a lot of the challenges that, many of you have gone through. That's why I respect and I appreciate and I just hold on so tightly to what I have right now with my wife and my family. It took me a long time to get this point. It was a long road and a lot of work. Yesterday, Carrie, is that I went to the gym about 10 o'clock in the morning to meet Ronnie there, set him up with a job interview at the club, right? And I was waiting for him in the lobby, and there was this woman that came up to me. And I'd say she's a little bit older than I am, but, from the local area, I haven't seen her, in years, right? And it's nobody I dated or anything like that. But she's a lawyer. She's hardworking. Single. I think she's always been single, never married. And like I said, she's older than I am. But I would see her at the coffee shop, maybe at the gym, because she's been at that gym for 10 years or whatever. And we would get in conversations, somehow way we started talking about stuff. And she would always talk about, her dating life and this and that, and ask me for my opinion of dating life. Well, I've always had opinions, even though maybe I didn't get it myself. And when you're single and struggling, when you don't get it, what you do is you tend to gravitate towards people who are like you, people who are just figuring out just like you. A lot of times the same values that you have, that this is what's important in a relationship, even though you can't seem to get it, or you have the same trust issues or the same bad experiences, right? And so that same type of group think, what a beautiful, there's my magic moment right there, that smile Brooklyn just gave me. But yeah. You stay in your same group, develop that same group think, and then you just reinforce all the things that make you feel good now but are keeping you away from having that life and that connection that you really want. And so I it must have been years since I said, how's it going? And it seems like she always seems, whatever relationships she's going through, again, a little bit older, successful businesswoman, never married, challenge. And again, if I'm giving her advice, there's probably,
right.
Or she's asking, well, I have this situation. It's been that for years, right? But again, I haven't seen her because I wasn't married, you know, whatever. So it must have been a long time since I saw her. And so I'd said, you know, I showed her I was married. I showed, you just sent me that picture of Brooklyn with the balls. And
oh,
I was
yeah.
looking at it. Here's my baby daughter. I have, again, I'm making up for time. I'm showing everybody all these millions of pictures or whatever. And but the thing is, I was really sensitive to her because I made it over to this other
side.
Yeah,
and you knew that she was.
Well, I don't know that for sure because she's a nice person. She's like, oh, so good for you. You found that one. Oh. But see, I'm very sensitive. You know, Facebook, sometimes when you're excited about your life and you want to share it with the world, there are many people who are going to be all for you. Some people don't even, most people don't even care. But there's some people who may have gone through the same challenges or in your same boat. They see themselves as like your peer.
Yeah. Right?
And then you explode to an area of life that they haven't mastered, whether that's business or money or relationships or family or whatever it is. You were the same. They saw you as the same, you know, like peers. And then somehow you broke through on an area that they were challenged with, too. It doesn't always inspire them. It makes them, you know, feel bad about their situation. I'm very sensitive to that for some reason, especially, you know, as I've worked hard on myself to figure out a lot of things. Business, relationships, family, and so important to me. But part of my vision is to help people, you know, make their life a little bit easier, right? To share my challenges, how I broke through them with them. And so, you know, I only had a couple minutes to talk, but I was thinking, wow, you know, and she said, well, you know, I'm still dating, whatever. And like I said, it's just, see, I don't know what she wanted for her life. I don't know if she wanted children. Obviously, it's probably too old. She's too old at this point. Maybe she gave up on that dream a long time ago. Maybe she put it all in her career. I think she's a pretty successful lawyer, right? And I kind of didn't even want to go on and on about how happy I was and the changes that I've made in my life, my man formation, because I didn't want to make her feel bad. And I kind of mentioned something like, no, I'm happy for you. It's just that you're the rare exception, right? And then, you know, that whole rationalization, and she's talking about the divorce rate is so high and those type of things, which is true. And I kind of said to her, I go, well, you know, it could be a 70% chance of rain, you know, but it's either going to rain or it's not. It's either 100%, it's either going to rain or it's not. Okay, it's not for you, right? And either you're going to make your life work and your marriage is going to work or it's not. It's not some percentage, right? And I remember doing that when I was single. Well, I would justify my position, even though that isn't what I want. I would justify, well, look at the divorce rate and how many people are happy. You know, like I said, when I would be breaking up with a girl, and they would, you know, I told you the story is that, you know, when they would say, well, look, how long are you going to be doing this in your whole life, whatever. And I already had my prepared
speech.
I said, well, look, this is a relationships are a very challenging thing. Look, let's just say I've had 5 relationships in my life, and just say you've had 2. And let's just say you find the man of your dreams next time. You know, collectively, we're still 1 for 9, right? If you count all the relationships or whatever, it's a challenging thing to find that person you're going to stay with a long time. Well, you could tell that's what she was, you know, she was challenged with, right? That's the way she was looking at it. And she, you know, hangs out with, you know, people who are in that same place. And then she talked about, well, you're so lucky. You met her right at the gym. It was so easy for you, whatever, like in your. And I kind of said, you know, I'm like on Match.com and this and that and everything. I'm going, you know, really, when you become the person, a lot of these things that I talk about, when you get clear with yourself, you get clear of what you want, you create these standards, and it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of insight. When you do that, you're going to find people all in your, because you become the man and woman that you need to be. That's the only thing I can really say. I mean, any more than that, I can take both, if you're a man and you're a woman, you like the things I'm saying, you think I have some insight, you know, like I said, 5 of the guys who I talk about will talk about this topic is relationships, even though they come to me for achievement in other areas of life. So if you're a man or if you're a woman, you're young or old, and you think some of this, I can apply it directly to your situation, give me an email. Send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com for some weekly coaching. If this is an important part of your life and you just don't get it, I can't give that woman coaching, but I have that empathy, right? I didn't have enough time to go through this with her, but there is a way to get to the other side. I'm living proof of it. You just have to think differently, and you're going to need someone to shake your current way of thinking. Maybe I've done it through this podcast. Send me that email. My time is limited with Mass Machine Nutrition, all the things I'm going on. But I will work hard to help you. Yeah, if I can, if we can work into the, if you're committed and you want that coaching, look, I set up a number for this. Instead of you sending an email, make it easier for you. It's toll free, 855-946-8311. 855-946-8311. Send me an email at skipoutskillcore.com if you did get one. Hey, let's call and talk about this coaching. Let's see if this is a good fit for both of us, if this is what could help you. No charge. I'll talk to you about it and see if this coaching is for you. Again, if this is an area of your life, it's such an important, I want you to feel so much to where I, you know, made my man formation I work to. And again, if you're a man and you're young or you're older, you're a challenger, if you're a woman and you think you listen to this podcast, I know that I can help you at least think about your situation a little bit more. So think about that one-on-one coaching. Send me an email, skip@skiplacour.com, or call that number I have set up, 855-946-8311. All right, so we're going to wrap up this podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
doing
that
this.
Was fun.
Yeah, so this is going to be the whole theme of it. So, you know, have a great weekend. Join us for the Morning Connection podcast and next week for More Than Just Muscle, strategies to help you become your very best, both inside and outside of the gym.
See you later.
Take care.